Hey, so this is going to be the last part of Musa Alayhi Salam's story, and yeah, it's pretty short, so don't you worry. Okay. Although the group of Bani Israels and Musa Alayhi Salam, they were in exile for their disobedience to Allah, Allah still provided them with beautiful sustenance. He sent them food from unimaginable places, all spread out before them without any effort on their part. He also sent them manna and quails for them to consume. They were asked to eat from the good and lawful things that Allah had provided for them, and also commanded not to cause any mischief or corruption. When they complained of thirst, Musa alayhi salam prayed for water and was commanded by Allah to strike a rock with his staff, from which 12 springs gushed forth, one for each tribe. Hence, given the circumstances, they were never lacking in provision. Eventually, Bani Israel found reasons to be ungrateful and complain about the bounties of Allah. Instead of enjoying the heavenly provisions, they said, "O Musa, we cannot endure one kind of food. So invoke your Lord for us to bring forth for us of what the earth grows, its herbs, its cucumbers, its wheat, garlic, its lentils, and its onions." Even Musa alayhi salam's patience with his people had its limits. He refused, saying, "Would you exchange that which is better for that which is lower? Go you down to any town and you shall find what you want." Their ungrateful and discontented attitude provoked the wrath of Allah. Bani Israel bore the trademarks of the thankless, constantly complaining about whatever they were provided with. They were unappreciative of any divine favors and took everything for granted, and in fact carried within them a sense of entitlement. They were quick to lament about everything and repeatedly overstepped their boundaries with Allah. We may look at unpleasant qualities with disdain, but it is also a time to ponder if we ourselves have these qualities within us. The 12 tribes wandered in the desert for decades, walking in circles and never finding their way out. This was their punishment, but also their spiritual cleansing. Sometimes calamity can also be a trial and purification from Allah to us. Yet, by and large, their attitudes remained unacceptable. Although provided with constant food and shade from Allah, they were constantly demanding for more. Not just material sustenance and comfort, but proof of Allah's divine power. They had all but forgotten how badly they were treated in Egypt, instead behaving with a haughty sense of entitlement even to Allah. We will explore some of these in other stories. For the majority of them, no matter what proof was shown to them, their hardened hearts would reject such evidence. In one incident, they declared that, "O Musa, we will not believe in you until we see God openly." As they demanded that, a thunderbolt seized them and they all fell dead. They were revived but still remained ungrateful and unwilling to recognize Allah's divine power. In another incident, and according to Ibn Abbas, Musa alayhi salam then stood in front of his Lord and prayed to him to forgive the wrongdoing of his people. And Musa chose out of his people 70 of the best men of our appointed time and place of meeting. And when they were seized with a violent earthquake, he said, "O my Lord, if it had been your will, you could have destroyed them and me before. Would you destroy us for the deeds of the foolish ones among us? It is only your trial by which you lead astray whom you will and keep guided whom you will. You are our wali, so forgive us and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those who forgive." In another occasion, a mountain was raised over their heads, and they thought it would follow them so hastily and prostrated to Allah. "Hold firmly to what we have given you," Allah says, "the Torah, and remember that which is therein. Act on its commandments so that you may fear Allah and obey Him." But after Allah spared them for being crushed by the mountains, they again broke their covenants and pledges with Allah. Although they constantly challenged and defied Allah, whenever they were in need of divine intervention, they would turn to Musa al-Islam to pray to Allah for them. After the need had passed, they would again be deniers of Allah's signs, proving their earlier repentance and submission to be hollow lies. This eventually caused them to reach the point where they became spiritually blind and incapable of receiving any divine guidance. Okay, now earlier we had, like, earlier there was this there was this part where Musa alayhi salam had to leave his people to go and meet Allah for an appointed time, right? For 30 days, and it got extended to 40 days, and he had to meet Allah on the mountain of Tur. So at this meeting, Musa alayhi salam asked to see Allah, okay? And when Musa arrived at our appointed time and his Lord spoke to him, he said, "My Lord, show me yourself that I may look at you." Allah said, "You will not see me, but look at the mountains. If it should remain in place, then you will see me." But when his Lord appeared to the mountain, he rendered it level, and Musa fell unconscious. And when he awoke, he said, "Exalted are you, I have repented to you, and I am first of the believers." Even a mountain which is physically stronger and firmer than a human being was unable to endure the direct vision of Allah. When Allah manifested a very small part of him, the mountain crumbled into fine dust. And Musa alayhi salam lost consciousness. And when he came to, he repented to Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Do not prefer me from among the prophets. People will lose their consciousness on the day of judgment, and I will be the first to gain consciousness. But suddenly I will find Musa holding one of the legs of the throne of Allah. I do not know whether he gained consciousness before me or did he not lose his consciousness because he already lost consciousness on Tur." It's narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Now in Quran, Allah said, "O Musa, I have chosen you over the people with my messages and my words to you. So take what I have given you and be among the grateful." And we wrote for him on the tablets something of all kinds, instruction and explanation for all things, saying, "Take them with determination and order your people to take the best of it. I will show you the home of the defiantly disobedient." They're all severe lessons for each of us. Arrogance is the worst trait that we can have, with severe implications on our souls. And it's said in the Quran, "I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right. And if they should see every sign, they will not believe in it. And if they see the way of consciousness, they will not adopt it as a way. But if they see the way of error, they will adopt it as a way. This is because they have denied our signs and they are heedless of them. The arrogants will be blinded even if they see a sign, and they will not accept it or any guidance because they will not be capable of it." This was repeatedly seen in the lives of Bani Israel, but many Muslims today are also guilty. Now, narrated by Abu Hurairah, the angel of death was sent to Musa, and when he went to him, Musa alayhi salam slapped him severely, spoiling one of his eyes. The angel went back to his Lord and said, "You sent me to a slave who does not want to die." Allah restored his eye and said, "Go back and tell him to place his hand over the back of an ox, for he will be allowed to live for a number of years equal to the number of hairs coming under his hand." So the angel came to him and told him the same. And Musa said, "O my Lord, what will be then?" He said, "Death will be then." And Musa alayhi salam said, "Let it be now." He asked Allah that he bring him near the sacred land at a distance of a stone's throw. Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Were I there, I would show you the grave of Musa alayhi salam by the way near the red sand hill." It's in a Bukhari hadith. In the case of Musa alayhi salam, Allah allowed the angel of death to manifest itself into a human form and be visible to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was expecting many tasks to be carried out before his death, including to take Bani Israel out of the desert. But Allah ordained otherwise. It is reported that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "When I was taken on the night journey, I passed by Musa and he was praying in his grave below the sandhill." And this is the end of Musa alayhi salam's story and all the teachings and lessons that we have learned from him. And yeah, it's a pretty short part, but we are going to move on to the next prophet, which is Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And Dawood alayhi salam was the father of Prophet Sulaiman. So yes, interesting things are coming your way, and I will see you then. Bye.